Our series through the Gospel of John, and we come today to the end of John chapter 9 and beginning John chapter 10. Remember in the original text that there were not these chapter and verse divisions that we have in our Bibles today. These were given to help with reference and so forth, but they were not in the original manuscripts. And as I've examined this passage, I found it helpful to see what Jesus says in the last few verses of chapter 9, not only as fitting to the events of John chapter 9, but also as an important lead-in to his teaching in John 10, and how these two chapters go together, and they just flow from one right into the next that Jesus is teaching here in light of, in the aftermath of what he did in chapter 9. So if you'll follow along with me in your copy of the Scriptures, John 9, let's begin at verse 39. And Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, so that those who do not see may see." Isn't that good news? That's you, Christian. Those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind. Those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, "We are not blind too, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say, 'We see,' your sin remains. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Father in heaven, we ask now for your blessing upon the reading and the preaching and the hearing of your inspired, authoritative, profitable word and the text you have given us this morning. May we each lay ourselves before it, and may you have your way as we sang and prayed at the start of this service. Have your own way, thine own way, Lord, in our lives through your word now to reveal to us your Son, to reveal to us your so great salvation and where we are before you. What it means to hear the voice of the shepherd and follow. We pray it to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let us first, in considering this text this morning, look at the background here, the background of it. As I've already mentioned, chapter 10 flows out of chapter 9. It's the continuation of the same event. In chapter 9, we saw Jesus heal a man who had been born blind. And then remember, the Pharisees had conducted an investigation, really more like an interrogation. They were questioning different witnesses, including the healed man's parents, and then, of course, the man himself who had been healed. And as we've been seeing throughout the Gospels, the Pharisees as a whole are unwilling to believe what should have been obvious to them. They refuse to listen to any reasonable explanation of things. We saw this as we went through chapter 9 and give any honest consideration to the truth of Jesus' works and Jesus' words. And they take it out on the man to whom Jesus had given sight simply for what? For speaking the truth, right? And they do what? They put him out. They put him out of the synagogue. They excommunicate him, cut him off from the life of Judaism. They thought they saw things rightly, Jesus reveals. They say by their own words, right? They think they see things right. They think they're righteous, in themselves before God, but in reality, they're really what? Blind, right? They're blind. They're in spiritual darkness. Jesus, in fact, this wasn't new. Jesus has been talking about this for the last two chapters. They're in darkness. They can't see their sinfulness. They couldn't see their need of Christ, and they rejected him. They didn't want him. They didn't want his ways. Why? Well, Jesus said essentially why back in John chapter 3, because they loved the darkness rather than the light. And so their leadership of the people then was corrupt. Their leadership of the people was self-seeking. And then it's this, the corrupt leadership of the Pharisees, that leads us into what Jesus says in John chapter 10. I mean, think about this. Why does Jesus, here in John chapter 10, distinguish himself as the good shepherd in contrast to false shepherds who are really, he says, thieves and robbers who are strangers to the true sheep? He does so because the Pharisees have once again demonstrated that they were the false, unfaithful shepherds of Israel. And Jesus here draws a contrast between himself and these Jewish leaders. He is the good shepherd, the faithful and true shepherd of the people of God, whom the prophets foretold. Turn back with me now to Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34. Of course, the Jewish people were very familiar with this imagery of sheep, of shepherding, of a shepherd. Shepherding was common to their culture. It was an often repeated theme in the scriptures, in the Old Testament. King David had been a shepherd by trade. And David wrote perhaps the most well-known psalm, Psalm 23, which speaks of the Lord as our shepherd, right? And how he is the good and true and faithful shepherd. Some commentators speak of how John 10 is the New Testament counterpart to Psalm 23, and there's a lot of truth in that, as Jesus is declaring here himself as that shepherd, the shepherd of the true sheep, of the people of God, all who hear his voice and follow him. And the Old Testament prophets also use this shepherd imagery. Let's look at one example here in Ezekiel 34. This is one that directly relates to what Jesus is saying here in John 10, in the context in which he says it before the Pharisees. A contrast between the false shepherds of Israel and Jesus as the true shepherd. Follow along with me here, Ezekiel 34, verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, thus says the Lord God, Woe, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. Those who are sickly you have not strengthened. The diseased you have not healed. The broken you have not bound up. The scattered you have not brought back, nor have you sought for the lost. But with force and with severity you have dominated them. They were scattered for lack of a shepherd. And they became food for every beast of the field and were scattered. My flock wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. My flock was scattered over all the surface of the earth, and there was no one to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my flock has become a prey, my flock has even become food for all the beasts of the field and for lack of a shepherd. And my shepherds did not search for my flock, but rather the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will demand my sheep from them and make them cease from feeding sheep. So the shepherds will not feed themselves anymore, but I will deliver my flock from their mouth so that they will not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, look at this, verse 11, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep and will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the streams and in all the inhabited places of the land. I will feed them in a good pasture, and their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. There they will lie down on good grazing ground and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. Verse 15, I will feed my flock and I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, and strengthen the sick. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with judgment. What's he talking about? Go down to verse 23 now. Verse 23, then I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will feed them. He will feed them himself and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Now, who is he talking about in verses 23 and 24? Because there's a problem here. David lived and died long before Ezekiel gave this prophecy. Well, because he's not talking about David of old. He's talking about the greater son of David, the prophesied descendant of David, the fulfillment of what David foreshadowed. This is talking of the Messiah to come in Ezekiel's day, the Messiah who will be the shepherd who gathers his people, not only from the Jews, but from all nations, and they will be his sheep. He will seek them and gather them. He will call them. They will hear his voice and follow him. He will care for them and feed them. He will lead them to rest, to life. Just what Jesus says of himself in John chapter 10. The prophecy of Ezekiel 34 is fulfilled by Jesus. Well, that's the background of John 10 as we go back to our text. The Pharisees are the spiritual descendants of the false shepherds of Israel in Ezekiel's day. But now another shepherd has come and declares himself as that good and faithful shepherd. As the true shepherd of God's sheep, he is the Messiah. And so now let's look at this imagery that Jesus uses of the sheepfold. The sheepfold and its significance and understanding what he is saying. Look at verse 1 again of chapter 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. What is the fold? The sheepfold. Well, in each city or town that had shepherds tending their flocks around that city or town, there would be in that town or just outside of it a sheepfold. A sheepfold, a walled-in area where all the shepherds would bring their flocks at night. So all these different flocks from different shepherds would be brought into the fold. And they'd be put there during the night inside the walls of that fold as the shepherds would go off and get sleep for the night. And they would hire someone to keep watch over them during the night within that fold, a hired hand. And the night watchman would also serve as the doorkeeper. We see the doorkeeper referred to in verse 3. The doorkeeper, until the shepherds would come and claim their sheep in the morning. So, got the picture? A fold surrounded by a wall with one door. Okay? And the doorkeeper's job was to close the door at night when all the sheep were in and only open it to one who was a shepherd of a flock within the fold. Anyone else, such as a thief or a robber, if they were going to get in, they would have to climb up some other way, right? Like over the wall. But a true shepherd enters by the door. Verse 2, he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So what is Jesus then picturing here in the first part of John chapter 10? It's simply this. The sheepfold here is Israel. It's Judaism. It's the Jewish people. And the good shepherd, the true shepherd, has come to the fold of Israel as the promised Messiah. He comes as a shepherd comes in the morning to call his own sheep out to follow him. Now, there's another fold, another sheepfold Jesus is going to refer to later in verse 16, and Ezekiel 34 referred to this other sheepfold as well. But if we're going to talk about this next week, but verse 16, if you look ahead to that, Jesus will say, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also. They're my sheep, but they're in another fold. And they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock. One with one shepherd, just as Ezekiel spoke of. We'll talk more about that next week, but for now, just notice that Jesus here speaks of other sheep of his from a different sheepfold, from other peoples, from the Gentiles, from the nations. And he's going to bring them all together into one new flock. Just what Paul speaks of, like in places like Ephesians 2, right? Jews and Gentiles, one people, one flock. But here in the first part of John 10, he's dealing with the sheepfold of Israel, calling his sheep, calling his people from out of the fold of the Jews. And then primarily we see in our passage for this morning this imagery that Jesus will explicitly speak of later in the text of the door. Okay, we have the fold and we have the door. Now later in this chapter, and we'll get into this next week, Jesus will focus on the truth that he is the good shepherd. That's the primary metaphor of this chapter. But there's another way he refers to himself. A means by which the shepherds provided protection for their sheep. And a way to life through their shepherd and through no one else. And that imagery is that of the door of the sheepfold. Verse 2 says that the shepherds entered by the door. Okay, he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. But he who enters, what's that in contrast to? It's in contrast to chapter 1, or to verse 1, those who come up some other way, right, over the wall. They're not true shepherds, right? They're false shepherds. They're thieves and robbers. The sheep don't belong to them. The sheep belong to their shepherd. And only he has the right to come into the fold and call his sheep. Not just anyone was allowed in. Of course, not if the doorkeeper is doing his job, right? False shepherds try to come in, but they have to come in illegitimately, right? They have to be deceptive. They have to try to deceive the sheep, call them after themselves to their own self-directed purposes, not for their good, not for the good of the sheep, but for their own destructive purposes. And in this context here, it's the Pharisees who are being revealed by Jesus as the false shepherds leading the people astray. But Jesus is the true and faithful shepherd who doesn't come to take life, but to give life, right? Leads his people into pasture, through the door into life, out of Judaism into the green pastures of the eternal new covenant and the blessings of his salvation. And how that is accomplished by a holy God for sinful people is just what we celebrated this morning. Jesus is going to go on to talk about that in verse 11 and following when he says, the good shepherd does what for the sheep? Lays down his life for the sheep. What a contrast to the false shepherds, right? But let's see first how his sheep are brought to go through the door into life. First of all, letter A on the outline, Jesus' sheep hear his voice and follow him out. Jesus' sheep hear his voice and follow him out. Verse 3 again. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. Now look at this. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. See, sheep know their shepherd's voice, and when they hear it, they will follow it. Later, we'll see Jesus speak of how he knows his sheep, verse 14 and verse 27. And that word knowing his sheep, I know my sheep, it's a word in the Greek that means a personal knowledge, an intimate knowledge, a relational knowledge. I know them personally, not just know about them. I know them. Notice in verse 3 that he calls them by name. He calls his own sheep by name. He knows us, Christian, because as Ephesians 1 says, he has chosen us before the foundation of the world. He has set his love upon us according to the kind intention of his will, Paul says. Nothing in us that makes us deserving of it. It's all to the praise of the glory of his grace, Paul says over and over again. And because we are his, given to him by the Father, Jesus said in John 6, when he comes and calls us and leads us out, we will follow. But if one is not of his sheep, they don't hear his voice. They don't follow him. By appearance, they can look like the other sheep. They can look like his sheep. But if they don't hear his voice, right, and they don't follow him, they demonstrate that they're not of his sheep. They don't belong to him. They're part of someone else's flock. When you stop and think about the imagery that Jesus is giving us here, it's really striking. It's one that should cause us to stop and think, to examine ourselves before the Lord. The true shepherd has come to the fold of Israel, to the fold of Judaism, and as he will also come to the fold of the world, to the nations, to call his people out of the darkness of sin, out of the darkness of bondage to sin, out of false religion, out of deception. He knows who they are. They hear his voice speaking through his word. And they hear it as the voice of their true shepherd, their good shepherd, and he leads them out. But for the others, I mean, think about this, for the other sheep, as Jesus stands at the door and calls out, come and follow me, trust me, come to me and follow me out. Those who aren't his sheep don't know his voice. They don't recognize his voice. And they just stay there, you know, chewing the cud, just perfectly content, fine where they are, because they haven't heard the voice of their shepherd, the true shepherd calling them, and they follow other voices. But Jesus' sheep, letter B, will not follow a stranger. Jesus' sheep will not follow a stranger. This is what Jesus says in verse 5. A stranger they simply will not follow, but they will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Now, Jesus is telling us things here that he wants us to understand about salvation through him, to take to heart personally and to discern if we are of his sheep and how, by his grace, we can be. The shepherd knows his sheep personally. And the shepherd possesses authority. The shepherd possesses all authority to come into the sheepfold. Here, the sheepfold of the Jews, later the sheepfold of the Gentiles, and call his sheep to himself. He's the true shepherd, the only one who leads us into true and eternal life, and he calls his own sheep by name. And when he calls them, they recognize his voice and follow him. And take note of this, they will not follow a stranger. They will not. Now, I think this should be an incredible encouragement to us in our concern for others and in sharing the gospel, in sharing the word of God, the voice of Christ with others. When we proclaim the good news of God's word in regard to our sin, in regard to his grace, our great need and Christ's total sufficiency to meet that need for anyone. And the call to all people. Right? We those in our part of our Bible retreat, to all people everywhere to repent and trust in Christ alone to save them from their sin and give them life, new life, eternal life. As we do that, we can do so with confidence, knowing that Jesus is continuing to send out his voice. Jesus continuing to speak his voice through the truth of his word. His voice into the fold of this world. And we can have confidence that as there are any of his sheep among those hearing us, they will hear our voice and they will follow him. I mean, if it wasn't for that truth, pastors, missionaries, anyone who's out there proclaiming the gospel really has no basis for confidence that they're going to succeed. But we're given verses like this from our Lord to assure us, to give us this confidence, to not lose heart, that those who are his sheep will hear his voice through his word. It will accomplish his purposes. I think of this often, you know, Jesus has not returned yet. He is still working to fulfill his promise that he will build his church. Not one will be lost. He's not going to return too early. He's not going to return too late. He's going to return right on time. And that gives us encouragement. There are still people to reach. There are still sheep to come out of the sheepfold of this world into the flock of Christ. Look again to what Jesus promised us in John chapter 6, a wonderful chapter we considered at the beginning of this year. Jesus said back there in John 6:37, "All that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out." Unlike the false shepherds, right? Casting people out for their own self-serving purposes. John 6:39-40, "This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, of all my sheep, of those I know by name, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this, Jesus says, is the will of my Father, and here it is, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day." If you are Christ's sheep, and you have yet to follow him, you have yet to even realize that you are one of Christ's sheep. I preach God's word this morning. I give Christ's voice to you this morning in confidence. Because I know that in time you will hear and God will accomplish his purposes in you. He will accomplish salvation in your life and you will follow Christ out. And perhaps today you will follow him out for the first time. Give attention to his word. Now, I say that clearly because this is the only way you're going to hear the voice of Christ. If you give attention to his word, set aside all those other voices of the world. Listen to the voice of Christ. A lot of other voices out there that are not the voice of the true shepherd, the faithful shepherd. They're the thieves and robbers who are looking to kill and steal and destroy. But this shepherd will tell you the truth. And this shepherd gives grace. He is compassionate. He is forgiving. In fact, as we'll see later, he gave his life to forgive and redeem sinners like you and me. Anyone who hears his voice and comes to him, trusting him and his saving work for you, following him wherever he leads, whatever the cost in this world, find life in the Son. And I preach today with confidence by this text, knowing that if you're one of Jesus' sheep and you do know that, you have come to follow him, perhaps you've been following him for many years, you are assured that his Spirit has given you life, then I preach the word with confidence that you will recognize his voice in his word this morning. That you will recognize Him working out His good purposes, and that He's leading you, and He's leading me with all our struggles into life. And we will follow our shepherd. Notice back in verse 4, He says, when He puts forth all His own. That is, when He gets all His sheep out of the sheepfold, he does what? It says He goes ahead of them. And what do the sheep do? They follow. Here's a good observation I came across in Scripture using the picture of a shepherd and sheep. Sheep are not cattle. They're not driven. Sheep follow. Sheep follow the shepherd. Remember back in John 8, Jesus said, if you continue in My word, you abide in My word, then you are truly disciples of Mine. You demonstrate it by continuing in My word, following their shepherd as He leads them. See, the shepherd goes ahead of us. Why? Because He's leading us to what? To things that are bad for us? Things that are harmful for us? No. He leads us into good pasture, to find clean water. He leads to protect us from danger that would overcome us. He goes ahead of His people, and we follow after Him. He's going ahead of us. You think of the imagery of Psalm 23, that we would lie down in green pastures, that we would drink from quiet or still waters, to restore our soul, to guide us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even, now think about this in Psalm 23, our shepherd is even going before us, leading us into valleys of the shadow of death. He is what? What's the truth there? He is with us, right? Going ahead of us, leading us. All we need to do, even in those dark valleys, is trust the shepherd. Follow His voice. Even there in those valleys, He is protecting us and providing for us. Now think about this in relation to what the Psalms say. Even there, even the valley of the shadow of death, He is providing everything we need for our good. He's not withholding anything from us that is for our good. He's promised that. So what's our job? Follow. Hear His voice and follow. There's great danger, isn't there, in wandering off. There's great lack, want, in wandering away from our shepherd. And yet, how often we do so. You know, if we know anything about sheep, we know they're stupid animals, right? They just get their eyes off the shepherd and they wander off so easily. And how much are we like that in our sinful hearts, right? Our self-focused hearts. The shepherd simply says, follow Me. That's all you need to concern yourself with. This is why it's so important to be in the Word every day, by the way, to hear the voice of our shepherd. Can you imagine just picking up this Word on Sunday, setting aside and just living our lives for the week? How easily are you going to wander? Pretty easily, right? Listen to His voice and follow Him. He'll take care of us. He'll provide everything we need. He'll lead us, in fact, into what? Abundant blessing, verse 10 says. The Lord is so patient with us, isn't He? Verse 5 is only true because of His grace, because He loves us and continues to pursue us with a covenant love. How many often did we see in Ezekiel 34 how the false shepherds didn't go after the lost sheep, didn't go after the broken sheep? Just let them go. That's not our Lord, is it? He keeps pursuing us. He loves us with a covenant love, and He will not lose one of us. Well, finally, we see, let her see that Jesus is the door of the sheep. Jesus is the door of the sheep. Don't trust a preacher when he says, finally. There's one more letter, but anyway. Now, while the primary metaphor of this chapter is Jesus the Good Shepherd, verse 7, He brings in another metaphor to communicate to us who He is and what He does. Verse 7 says, Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. There's only one door, right? to life, to the true shepherd. That's Jesus. So Jesus here, you know, he's speaking to them. Verse 6 tells us they're not getting it, right? They're not understanding. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus clearly and simply proclaims what here? Another I am statement. Remember in John, there's seven great I am statements that Jesus proclaims about himself. We've already seen what? I am the bread of life, right? I am, Jesus says, the light of the world. And now we come to the third, where he says, I am the door of the sheep. Verse 8, all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Now, hear this in light of everything else that Jesus has said about the sheepfold, about thieves and robbers. Now he's declaring that he is the door. He's the only way in and out to find pasture, to find life spiritually, instead of being led by false shepherds to ultimate loss and ultimate destruction and death. One must enter through him. Notice the definite article here. Jesus Christ is not just a door. He is the door. Later in chapter 14, he's going to say it even more clearly, right? John 14, 6. I am the way, Jesus says, and the truth and the life. Not just a way, just, you know, not just I'm an option for you to consider, you know, a way to find life. No, Jesus himself is the way and the truth and the life. He's not just the way to life, he is the life. And then Jesus adds there in John 14, 6, no one comes to the Father, what? But through me, right? Jesus here says, I am the door of the sheep. There is no other way. So, Christian, we can't be okay with people, you know, you think of our loved ones especially, who don't know Christ, who aren't following Christ and aren't sure if they're, you know, his, if they're following after him. We can't be okay with them just thinking of Jesus Christ and the Christian faith as, you know, just one viable option out of many in this world. We saw it in our text last week in Romans 3, he's not just the God of the Jews, he is the God of the Gentiles as well. As the Samaritans came to believe and confess in John chapter 4, he is the Savior of the world, they said of Jesus. Look at it again. Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me, notice. All who came before me, not some who came before me, all who came before me, making the same kind of claims I am making, promising you peace, promising you hope, promising you redemption, are what? Thieves and robbers. But the sheep, he says again, the true sheep, my sheep, did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. And once a person has understood this truth, has heard Jesus' voice through his word, and left the fold of Judaism, left the fold of the world to follow him, entered through the door of Christ, then what? Then, Jesus says, he will go in and out and find pasture. What is this picturing? This is picturing how we can find security in being Christ's sheep and following him. Within that security of being his sheep, there is freedom, true freedom, the world knows nothing of. Freedom from worry, freedom from, you know, worrying about my daily needs, free from worrying about the future, Matthew 6 speaks of. Freedom from trying to earn my acceptance with God, trying to merit my place in heaven. We talked about that last week. Freedom from trying to work off my guilt and make up for my failures. And freedom to love and give and serve and speak the truth. Freedom to be transparent and even risk for the kingdom of God. because of our faithful shepherd and his promise, entrusting ourselves to him to take care of us and provide for us and protect us and satisfy us, knowing his promise that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate me from his love. All of this is the abundant life Jesus promises in verse 10, and we'll finish with that point. Letter D, Jesus came to give his sheep abundant life. In stark contrast to the false shepherds. The thief, the false shepherds come to steal and kill and destroy, Jesus says. But Jesus says, I'm not like them. I'm not a false shepherd. I'm the true shepherd. I've come for a different reason. You know, one thing we need to note here is that false shepherds are not innocent and harmless. Can't play around with them. They're not innocent and harmless. They have a mission, and they have a purpose, which Jesus exposes here, and it's a destructive one. And they're all over this world, enticing our flesh. Jesus Christ is the great shepherd of his church. Jesus, let me be clear about that. Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd, the great shepherd of this church. Okay, the elders here, John and Ron and myself, were called under shepherds, under Christ. And part of our role from Scripture as elders of this church is to help guard Christ's sheep from false teaching, even as we guard our own hearts and our own minds from it, by being in the Word, and by being faithful to the Word in our preaching and in our teaching. Now, this certainly isn't an easy or popular part of our role as elders. You know, it's easy for us. It's easy for you as you speak the truth in this world, right? To be accused of being harsh, of being unloving, of being, you know, hateful. Why? Because we're seeking to warn God's people about false shepherds. False shepherds out there in books, in TV preachers, in websites, even people within our own community or even within our own church. But we must continue to do this. If we had more time this morning, I was going to have read Acts chapter 20 earlier, but let me just read for you part of Acts chapter 20, which relates to our text this morning. This is Paul exhorting the Ephesian elders before he departs, and he says these words, "Be on guard," notice this, "for yourselves," John, Ron, myself, "be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." I need to think about that about you. You need to think about that about me. We've been purchased by the blood of Christ. We're precious to Christ and should be precious to one another. Here's what Paul says. He tells them, frankly, "I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert." In light of these serious words, I ask you to pray for us, please. I ask you to encourage us. I ask you to work with us. This is his church. And by his grace, it will continue and it will grow and be faithful. As Paul goes on to say to them before he leaves them, "And now I commend you to what? To God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified, among all his true sheep, that they may have life and have it abundantly." Well, this is our shepherd's promise, Christian. We ought to be greatly encouraged by our passage this morning, even as we have much more to see in this chapter. The Lord knows his sheep. The Lord has chosen his sheep. He knows them by name. Our shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ, David's greater son, the Messiah, who possesses full authority to come into this world to come to this world through His Word, through His people speaking His Word, and call His sheep out and lead us and provide for us and protect us as we follow Him. If you hear His voice, then follow. If you have not truly heard His voice before today, let me tell you that He has spoken this morning through His Word. And if you hear it, if you hear the gospel of your need for a Savior, and that Savior only being found in Jesus Christ, who gave His life to save His sheep, if you're hearing that, you're hearing His voice. Follow Him. Trust in Him and His saving work for you. Entrust yourself to Him as you follow Him, and He will guide you all your days. He'll never let you go. He'll keep on pursuing you. He will keep on lovingly disciplining you. He will keep on faithfully providing for you and leading you all the way home to the new heaven and the new earth to come, where we will be forever with Him. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your gracious word through Your Son this morning. Thank You for Your great grace upon sinners like us. Not one of us is worthy to be Your people. We are sinful. We are sinners. We deserve judgment. We deserve wrath. And yet You have been so gracious. You've given Your only Son to die for our sins. You've sent Your shepherd into this world through Your word to call Your people to Yourself. That anyone who has ears to hear may come, whosoever will may come and drink of the waters of life. Oh, Father, I pray that You would be gracious to us. I pray, Father, to each one here, Father, that hearing Your voice, the Spirit of God is working within them, that they would hear, that they would respond, that they would come, put their trust and faith in Christ alone and follow Him. And for those of us who are Your sheep, who have assurance of that, through just some, for us, almost a lifetime of following You, some many years of following You, we thank You for that gift. And may we not take that for granted or be presumptuous, but may we listen to the voice of our shepherd day by day by day and follow Him, trust Him. He is good. He is faithful. And may we walk in life, abundant life, every day. We trust ourselves to You, Father, in Jesus Christ our Lord. In His name we pray. Amen.